speaking right now.
Amen. All right. On now, fellas. Well, it's good to be here tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's good to be here. Good to be saved. Good to know the Lord. I'm glad the Lord's here. I'm glad you're here tonight. I've been looking forward to coming and finally here tonight, since we talked to the preacher here several months ago about this meeting. And I want you to give me attention for a few minutes tonight. It sure is good to see you here this evening. I've been looking forward to this. Good to see Brother Wayne and his wife from down in Tennessee. And I sure enjoyed you fellas singing. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. I've seen all them signs coming up the road of all these country singers from here. Billy Ray Cyrus is from here. What about that? Boy, he messed up, didn't he? He'd have been better off if he'd been doing what you guys are doing. Using his talent for the Lord. That's why his kid turned into a monster. And he regrets that now. Somebody said he regretted. But anyway, thank God. My family, my dad's side of the family's from down in, he was born in near Rock Castle Creek, Butcher Holler, Inez, Kentucky. And so then he raised in West Virginia across the river in Kermit. Does anybody know where Kermit, West Virginia is? Okay. Well, you know everybody in West Virginia is crazy. You know that, don't you? Right. I'm going to see my cousins this weekend, and Thursday and Friday we're going to see them. And I was down there preaching several years ago, and there's a crazy man out and just running around in the streets. And I asked my cousin, I said, Linda Gill, why don't they put that man somewhere in a facility or something? Yeah. And she said, Danny, West Virginia don't have no places for crazy people. And I said, just build a fence around the whole state. I'm telling you, there's some crazy people down there. And you're all right if you're kin to them. But you better not go in there running your mouth if you ain't family. But I am planning on going down to see them, Lord willing. My mom's from North Carolina, the mountains of North Carolina. And that's she came to Ohio many, many years ago because there wasn't no jobs down there. And my daddy had come up to Portsmouth, on up to Columbus to get a job, and that's how they met. And she met him, and she said, these people's crazy up here. So she went back to North Carolina. Yeah. He followed her, and that's how I wound up being born in North Carolina, and thank the Lord for it. But I know you don't know me, and I don't know you, but I know that the Lord's got a reason for us being here. Amen. And I go to a lot of places. And honest to goodness, I do not say this everywhere I go. I hardly ever say it. But I feel in my heart that the Lord wants to do something here this week.
Amen.
Something special. Something real. Something that'll last. Something we won't get over. And so I hope that you'll pray. Be here in the next two nights. You've already had these last couple of days. Get ready. All the good preaching you've heard from Brother Dixon and Brother Wayne, and let's do what we can for God while we've got a chance. We don't know, it might be our last chance. I want to say just a word about the service Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Pastor asked me about doing this, and Lord willing, I'll be doing a multimedia video presentation, and it's for everybody, but especially the teenagers, on the signs of the end and how close we are to the second coming of Jesus. Now I'm going to be using some video on your screen there. And if you don't believe that we're that close to the coming of the Lord, you'll be here Wednesday night. Let me encourage you to bring everybody you can. Call your friends, call everybody, get your neighbors, kids, bring a carload for Wednesday night. And I believe the Lord's going to do something special. I believe that. I guarantee it. And we're going to be praying. I'll be fasting Wednesday most of the day if it's the Lord's will. And asking God to do a great work. So don't forget that Wednesday night. Please pray. And go home tonight. Call somebody. And say, I want you to go to church with me Wednesday night. Finish this verse. Go out in the highways and hedges and... I'm glad you said that. Compel them to come in. It didn't say invite. I know people say, well, I invited everybody I know. Nobody won't come. It didn't say to invite them. It said compel them.
Right.
Look up compel in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Invite means we're having revival. We'd love for you to come one night. That ain't going to do it. No. Lord, they got too much. The devil's got too many other things. Compel means grab them by the ear like it right there.
Yeah.
And say, you're going to revival me. No, I ain't. Yes, you are. No, I ain't. Yes, you are. No, I ain't. Yes, you are. I got to cook supper. Don't worry about it. Well, pastor's having, what'd you say we was having?
I don't even know. Pizza.
Pizza. We're having pizza. And you don't have to cook. You don't have to wash dishes. And don't take no for an answer.
That's right.
That's what compel means. That's right. So you compel them to come in on Wednesday night. All right. Tonight, let's take our Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament, chapter number 1. Jonah, those few short chapters of Jonah there, tell us the story of the prophet Jonah. An outline for the whole book of Jonah, you've heard before, I'm sure, is chapter 1, Jonah's running from God. In chapter 2, Jonah's running to God. He gets right. Chapter 3, Jonah's running with God. Has that great revival. And then chapter 4, Jonah runs ahead of God and got all messed up again. But in chapter 1, we see that he had run from the will of God and he got down there and the Bible says that he laid down there and went to sleep and this big storm came up. And this storm came up and when it did, everybody started getting up and they said, man, we're about to go under. This thing going down. We've had it. And they kicked him and said, man, what's wrong with you? Get up. And here's what they said. Chapter 1, verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. I want us to think on that scripture tonight, like it's us. We're in a sinking ship. And somebody says, arise, call upon your God. Maybe God will think upon us, that we perish not. They use the word call. Jonah, call upon your God. I want to preach tonight on the subject, a spiritual 911 call. A spiritual 911 call. 911, that's the phone number to be used in a crisis, a time of emergency. We are no doubt in a time of emergency. We're living in those days. We need help and we need it bad. And we need it quick and God's the only one that can help us. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a mess in this country. And we need God like we've never needed Him before. It ain't going to come from the White House. It ain't going to come from the schoolhouse. It's going to have to come right here in the house of God. Somebody said we need to get prayer back in school. We better get it back in our church first. If we get it back in our church, we might have it in some of these other places. I'm going to talk about a 911 call. When somebody has an emergency, they'll pick the phone up, 911. There's an operator on the other end of that thing, said, this is 911. How can I help you? You explain to them your emergency. I don't even have time. I can't scratch the surface to tell you what I'd like to tell y'all tonight about the situation of this our country and this world. But I know one thing. I know what the answer is. And the answer is, as I said, it ain't going to come out of Washington.
That's right.
It don't matter who gets voted in.
That's right.
Our choices are terrible, worse and worse, worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Ain't no politician going to fix the mess that you and I are in tonight. None of them. It's going to have to come from a higher power. Going to have to come from God. You know, one of the tragic things I see about churches today, and I do read some. I listen to preaching all the time. I know preachers that go way back, and I got in on the tail end of some of them old great preachers that died 30 years ago, and I heard them preach. And you know what we're missing in churches today? We've got everything nice. We have nice facilities. We've got a lot of talent like these men here. We've got buses and vans and we've got carpet and we've got air conditioning. You know what we don't have the old generations used to have? We don't pray. We don't pray, folks. Now I'm going to talk about somebody needs to put in a call to God and stay there until He comes and gets us. You know what them 911 operators say? They say, stay on the line till we get there and help you. Years ago, when my oldest daughter, I got three daughters and they're all grown now, but my oldest daughter, when she was about 6 or 7 years old, she begged me and begged me. Somebody had some little dogs for sale. She talked me into buying her one. And there was a little old bitty cocker spaniel, puppies, about a couple months old, little old bitty dog, about that high and had curly blonde hair, and she named it Biscuit. And I paid $50 for that thing. And I can't believe I did that. You know, you don't pay money for a dog. Something happened to it, sure as a world. You know, you get one that ain't worth nothing, you can't kill it. You run over it with a car, shoot it, and everything else. But you pay money more than something will happen to it, I guarantee you. Well, anyway, she got this little old dog. And we live up on a big old hill and got woods around the house. And we put Biscuit in a little old cardboard box outside of the house, about as big as that right there. And one evening we went off somewhere and she let the dog in that box and we got back and it's just about dark. And at dark we came up the road and came up my driveway and it was almost dark. And woods is all around the house and my driveway goes straight down like that down the road to where my neighbors live. And we got out that day and she looked over there. Sure enough, that little thing had got out of that box and was gone. And I thought, Lord, I hope she don't even, maybe she won't even think about it or notice it. No, sir. She walked over and she said, Daddy, where's Biscuit? I said, I don't know, honey. She's probably out here running around somewhere. Daddy, where is it? I said, honey, I don't know where it's at. And I thought, I'm not staying out here all night in these woods looking at that stupid dog. You know, Cocker Spaniel's the dumbest dog God ever created. I mean, they ain't got enough sense. They don't have no sense, direction or nothing. Well, we sit out there for a minute, and all of a sudden I heard something going, ay, 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 ay. I said, wait a minute, honey, I think that's it. She said, is that my dog? I said, I believe that's it. Be quiet. We could hear it. And y'all know, you're mountain people. You know, when you live in a holler. And when you live in a holler and you hear a noise, you can't really tell where it's coming from. Like it's over there and it comes out down yonder somewhere where you can hear it. And I said, oh, it sounds like it's up there in the woods, baby. And so I go in the house and get the flashlight because there's snakes out there. I mean, copperheads and rattlesnakes and briars and bumblebees and wasps and everything else. And I got the light and I grabbed her by the hand. I said, it sounds like it's up here in the woods. We went up through here and I was moving bushes and stepping around trees, showing that light so we wouldn't get snake bit. And we could. I kept hearing it. It was going, and I said, I hear it, honey. And she said, Daddy, is it all right? I said, I don't know. We're going to go get it. We walked and walked through weeds and put weeds out of my face and went through briars and went way down through the woods and kept following that sound. Come out right in my neighbor's yard. If I'd have known that, we could have just went down the driveway and come out there. And we come out in his yard, and I said, it sounds like it's in there. And they lived in a trailer, and underneath the trailer had, you know how people put underpinning underneath their trailer, and they'll have a little door you can open to get up underneath if you have to. Well, somebody got that thing, stuck it up under there, and locked the door, and there's about that much room, and all you could see is his paws, and his mouth, and he's going, ah, 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 ah. I got right there and I said, there he is, honey. She She said, get it, get Biscuit. So I opened the door like this, and I grabbed that little old dog and put him on my shoulder. And I had her like with one hand and stuck my flashlight over here and the dog, and we started walking back up on the hill. And I started going back up the hill, and she was happy, and Biscuit was happy. And as I was going up that hill, Brother Wayne, I thought thereon and thereby and wherewithal and received instruction under the sun. I started thinking, you know how a preacher is, you know, we make a message out of everything. I started up through there and I thought, you know, that's the same way we do. Ain't that the way we do? We wander off and we get out of the will of God, get off down here somewhere. We get off down here and get ourselves into a mess and we don't even know how we got there, and the devil puts us off out there. You know what to do in a case like that? Just, and you just keep on a hollering, keep on a hollering, and keep on a hollering, and somebody up there is going to hear, and they're going to say, that's my youngin down there, and we stay on the line till he comes back, puts us on his shoulder, and puts us back where we need to be. Now, I'm going to tell you people something tonight. That's what we need in this generation. Somebody call on God until he does something for us. We shouldn't be satisfied with just two or three meetings and shake each other's hand. I mean, the world's going to hell, people. I mean, we're going down 90 miles an hour. Somebody better get a hold of the throne of God before it's too late and this thing goes down. That's right. I'm telling you, years ago, when I first started preaching, I used to preach in all the little mountain churches above where we live. 20 miles up, you know, 25 miles from our town, Mount Mitchell. And Mount Mitchell's the highest peak in the eastern half of the United States. I mean, it's up there. And all kinds of little mountain churches. Sort of like in this part of the country, you know. I mean, the reason there ain't no Catholic churches down there, they can't find nowhere to build one. There's three Baptist churches on every road you go in. Amen. You know how it goes, don't you? Where, you know, that's Hope Baptist Church, half a mile down the road. New Hope Baptist Church. That's the ones that got mad at them about 5 years ago. Half a mile down the road. No Hope Baptist Church. They keep getting littler and littler and littler as they go down the road. Well, I was up there preaching, and I remember going up there in them little old churches preacher, and I'd sit down on the front row. I was 20, 21, 22 years old, and I'd sit there just like I did tonight. And I'd sit there and I'd watch them. Them old guys would come out. They were so shy, they wouldn't even look at the congregation. And stand there and look and pat their foot and lead the singing like this. And that's a backward, you know. And there'd be about five or six old gentlemen back here on the back row of the choir, had them overalls on. You know, back they'd wear overalls and a white shirt. I was dressed up, buddy. Them overalls pressed. That white shirt starched. They'd stand there, brother, them shoes shine, stand in the back of that choir. And there'd be about two ladies on the front row, about seven or eight men on the back, and two on the front. That old guy would get up there and he'd say, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. And I'd be sitting there, you know, that's all right. I'd get a blessing, you know. I thought, that's okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good, you know. And all of a sudden, about time for that second verse, the door would open over here. It'd be about 5 at 7, something like that, you know. 7 or 8 minutes after church started, and a little door would open over here, a little white-haired lady about that high would come out and have her hair back by them bobby pins now. They don't even know what bobby pins are anymore. They ain't got enough hair to put it in them, no way. And buddy, she'd come out of that room, and she'd have her Bible like this right here and shine all over her face. I'm not kidding. You could see God on her. And right behind her be about 6 or 7 more looked just like her. And buddy, they marched out. They had been in the prayer room back there calling on God. And they'd get it and they'd march in the front row of that choir. And it was like a fog settled down over that place. And buddy, I'm telling you, the second verse sounded a whole lot better. I may have doubts and fear. My eyes be filled with. And business begin to pick up. I'm going to tell you tonight, what we need is some saints of God once again that'll push the plate back. Or brother, turn the TV off a little while and get in a prayer. Pharaoh and say, "Dear God, help us. Dear God, help us. Dear God, help us." And pray till he does help us. We ought to call on God. Somebody needs a 911 call into heaven tonight. Years ago, I remember an old preacher down in the mountains of North Carolina named Mac Hodge. Did you ever know Mac Hodge? Oh, Mac Hodge was a legend, buddy, in the mountains. Old timey mountain preacher. And he'd part his hair right down the middle. And he's sort of cross-eyed, man. He's scary. You couldn't tell if he's looking at you or not. And every time, whatever he'd preach, like he'd take if he's preaching on pride or something like that, he'd write it out and tape it on the pulpit so you could look at it the whole time he's preaching. Jealousy or something like that, you know. And oh, I'll never forget I heard him preach at Myrtle, Mississippi. One of the last sermons he ever preached. And I was there. And old Hodge got up there that night and he's preaching on prayer. You see, our people, we don't pray like people used to. We just don't do it. We've got so much. Our bellies are full. We got money in the bank. We just don't call. But look at the world, people. What are we going to do about our kids and our grandkids? Old Hodge got up there and preached that night. And I'll never forget, he said, I was in a revival one night. And he said, we was in an old country church. And he said, we all went back in the prayer room. And he said, all these men stood around in a circle. And everybody was giving their prayer requests. You know how we do. You know, pray for so-and-so and pray for mom. Pray. You know, you just make up something so at least people won't think you're backslid. You know how you do. And you know how you do. And is that right? And you got to say something to impress everybody and let them know how spiritual you are. And they said, pray for this, pray for that, pray for this, pray for that, pray for this. He said, all of a sudden, he said, the door flew open back there. And he said, there's a guy coming. He hadn't been saved in just a few weeks. And he kind of come running in like that. And his eyes that big around. He said, I want y'all to pray for my aunt. I'm going to pray Jesus will save her tonight. She's laying over on the couch watching TV. I'm going to pray the Lord bring her here and save her tonight. Dear Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'd bring her over here and save her tonight. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. She'll be here. And run out the door. Amen. And everybody looked like, who in the world that nut? Does he honestly think that that's going to happen? You know how we are. We pray and pray and pray. We don't really think God's going to do what we ask him to do.
That's right.
I mean, really. Let's might as well be honest tonight, y'all. There ain't no use me trying to put on in front of you, and ain't no use you trying to put on in front of me. We pray, and we don't bet more believe God's going to do it than a man in the moon. And they said, who in the world's that crazy nut? Does he not know it don't work like that? And old Mac Hodge said they went out of the prayer room that night. And the last thing that guy said, he said, she'll be here. And he said, the way it worked out, he said, lo and behold, I sat down, wound up sitting right beside that fella. And he said, I leaned over and punched him. He said, well, is your aunt here? He said, no, she ain't, but she'll be here. He said, okay. He said, they fooled around there a little bit, had some songs. Preacher made some announcements. They had, somebody took up the offering. He said, about 10 minutes, he leaned over again and said, is she here? He said, no, she ain't here. Don't you worry about it. She'll be here. He said, okay. Finally, they had a special. They had prayer. And it got preaching time. And it got time for the preacher to call on him to preach. And he said, I just had to ask him one more time. He said, I didn't want to get up there and preach and wondering whether or not that woman was there or not. He said, so I thought I'll just ask him one more time. So I leaned on and I said, is she here? And he said, now listen, preacher. He said, you get on up there and do what you're supposed to do. She'll be here. He said, that's exactly what I did. He said, I got up there and I forgot all about it. He said, I preached that night. And he said, I gave him a sermon. And he said, I told them people what was on my heart. And he said, we stood and we gave an invitation. And he said, a few stragglers come over here. Couple come over here. Nothing really special. Things went on like that for a few minutes. He said, all of a sudden, he said, the two back doors flung open back yonder. He said, there's a woman come down the aisle, looked like she's seen a ghost. She come down the aisle like that right there. I just fell in the altar like that. That old boy jumped about that high. I said, she's here! Sure did. And buddy, they piled in around her like the Dallas Cowboys. And they prayed, brother, and she prayed. And I mean, she stood up about 15 minutes later. And she's... And they gave her the microphone. She said, I just want to thank the Lord. I got saved tonight. And but I'm telling you, that place went crazy. Yeah. She said, I was laying over there on the couch watching TV. She said, there's a voice spoke to me just as plain as day and said, you get up and get down there at that church and get saved or you're going to die and go to hell tonight. And that's about the time that boy got the victory over there in the prayer room. I'm going to tell you something, brother. It got on. I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, we still serve the same God. God's still able tonight to do what he ever could do. God ain't weak. God ain't changed. God's not sick. God can still do it. We don't need new methods. We just need to call on God till he does something for us. There is no substitute for God's presence and power in a church service. And if you got that, you got everything you need. We better call on God. Thousands of times a day, that number is used for car accidents, domestic violence, heart attacks. People are called and told to hold on till somebody comes to help them. We're living in a Babylonian society, people. We have vulgarians entertaining barbarians. The emphasis is on the senses and the release of the sensual. And all the old codes have been broken down. Our foundations are being jerked out from under us. None of us would have ever believed we would see the day that we're seeing right now in this country tonight. Who would have believed it? I wouldn't have believed it 10 years ago if you'd have told me we're seeing things like we see tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Our Supreme Court, you know, people say, well, we've always had sin. That's true. You say, people have always been perverted and wicked. That's true. But you know when God judges a nation? Is when the government puts its stamp of approval on it. And it becomes law. And it becomes accepted. That's when you're gone too far, buddy. That's when the Lord gave two major signs. He said there's going to be two major signs that it's winding up. One of them is the days of Noah, and the other is the days of Lot. I'm telling you tonight, brother, if you can't see them signs, you're blind as a bat, spiritually. I'm telling you, our Supreme Court made three big decisions that's knocked the foundations out from our country tonight. One of them was in the 60s when we outlawed God and the Bible from our kids in the school system. Now we have anarchy. We have murder. We have guns in the schools. Our schools are the breeding ground of hell anymore in our country. The second one was when we legalized abortion. And we're now killing 4,400 babies every day in this country and paying a doctor to murder them. You say, well, I don't believe an unborn baby is a person. Well, it really don't matter what you think. I agree with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said that Jeremiah was called and ordained before he was ever born. He was not a mass of tissue. He was not just like a wart. He was a human being. He said John the Baptist took a shouting spell in his mother's womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said the babe leapt in her womb. Now, if the Lord said it was a baby, it's a baby. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You might have had it done. I don't mean to bring up old scars or wounds. I'm just trying to help these other young people from it happening to them. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me? 4,400 every day. And the trash cans in Louisville and Lexington, Kentucky are filled with dead baby arms and legs every single day in this country. God will not allow that to keep going on. Won't do it. Look at your Bible. Every time God done something big, right before it is killing babies. Pharaoh, when he's having Moses there killing all the babies under 2 years old. Bam! God steps in. Jesus, at the time of Herod, said all the babies be killed under 2 years of age. Every time the Lord says no, their voice is heard, their blood cries from the ground, and God's going to judge our country. We better quit playing church. We better quit being mad just because we didn't get that Sunday school class that we thought we ought to teach, or the preacher didn't call on us to sing, or he didn't shake my hand, or my little kid had a booger in its nose and he never even come and visited us. And we better quit that junk and get right with God and cry and call. God will help us. The third big decision our Supreme Court made just the other day, when they overruled the majority and spit in the face of God and says, we now condone same-sex marriages. Look, I don't hate nobody. You can't open your mouth nowadays without somebody saying you're a hater. I don't hate nobody. I love everybody. God loves everybody. But truth's truth, right's right, wrong's wrong. And I'm telling you tonight, we're inviting the judgment of God on this country. It's scary. Did y'all see that picture they put of the White House the other day where it had them rainbow colors on our White House, people?
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Preach it, buddy.
Buddy, I'm telling you tonight, that scared me when I seen it. One of my daughters sent that to me on my phone. I seen that, a chill come over me like, dear God, we're going to get it.
Yeah.
This country's going to get it, people. We're going to get it. You say, well, Brother Danny, don't you just think they're born that way? No. No. Nobody's born that way. This Bruce character, Caitlin / him, shim, whatever it is. They say he lived them four women so long. What he's really trying to do is keep up with the Kardashians. You mean tell me he's almost 70 years old and he figured out he wasn't a man? Now, wait a minute. He's almost 70 and he figured out he ain't really a man? What in the name of God? And we made a hero out of people like that. They're celebrating it. You say, well, Brother Danny, maybe he's always... No, no, no. He was an athlete. A very strong male athlete. He was on the front of Wheaties, people. I told him, I said, what are they going to put him on now? Fruit Loops? Hey, I'm telling you. You hear me tonight. You say, well, you'll get in trouble for talking like that. Well, Lord have mercy, people. Have we lost our mind? I don't hate nobody. I ain't no better than nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It wasn't for the grace of God, that could be any of us. But I'm telling you, you can't spit in the face of God and say right is wrong and wrong is right and God not do something about it.
Amen.
Right. I mean, what does a preacher say at them weddings? Do you, whatever you are, take this, whatever it is, to be whatever you're trying to be? Yeah, would one of you kiss the bride? That's these people out running around loose, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody better pray and get a hold of God. Our students are spending $5.5 billion a year on alcohol. That's more than they spend on soft drinks and their books for school. Combined. More money in this country is spent on pets, dog food, cat food, than we put in the missions anymore. Preachers have become spineless cowards. Amen. Almost 50% of preachers anymore don't even believe in hell. Let me tell you something about these mega churches, where they have a rock band and smoke coming up out of the altar and some stupid fool, something like that, to try to appeal to the young people. Listen, if we have to get rock music to get young people to come, we ain't got them. They've got us.
Amen. That's exactly right, Doc.
And I'll talk about music more Wednesday night. But listen, people, music's a powerful force. Music's one of the most powerful forces in the universe. You hear them guys that started that music a while ago? It puts certain things in your mind, makes you think certain ways, feel certain ways, have certain attitude. You know, when he got up here a while ago, started singing, "I feel like traveling on," and the 212 firing line. When he got up here, boy, it just made you just want to fight, be brave against all evil. And listen, people, you'll never hear a mega preacher preach a sermon on hellfire. Write me and tell me if you ever hear Joel Osteen preach on hellfire. I ain't trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. There's something wrong with a preacher that won't preach on hellfire. You say, well, some are caught. No, they ain't neither. Jesus Christ coined the phrase hellfire. He was the first hellfire preacher. And if a preacher don't preach hellfire, you ought to run him out of town and get him an honest job selling vacuum cleaners or something, and quit taking advantage of God's people, taking money under false pretenses. I'm telling you, brother, we are in trouble in this country. Preachers are forced to go along with the crowd. Just give in and let the young people rock it out and the old people sleep just to keep a crowd. I'll tell you something, it's better to be old-fashioned and right than up-to-date and wrong. Amen? Our destiny is not in the hands of man. Folks, we're like an old man asleep when 9-1-1 happened. Our country was like a sleeping giant, and it sort of roused up there for a day or two. Remember, everybody got real patriotic, and churches were filled, and boy, everything. But they turned right, rolled right back over and went to sleep. And more bad stuff's coming down the pike. How bad is this country? I was talking about children a while ago. I was preaching down in Florida some time ago. Preacher took me out. We was going to have a big youth night on Friday night, and I was going to do that rock and roll thing. I do two or three messages on rock and roll and rap music and stuff like that. It's for the dumb people in the congregation. He took me out there, and he said, "Danny," he said, "there's a trailer park right down there, and there's another trailer park right down here, just a mile or two down the road from church." He said, "We checked online." This has been 4 or 5 years ago. He said, "There's 16 registered sex offenders living in them two trailer parks. 16 that we know about in two trailer parks." Now look, people, you people here tonight look like good, godly Christian people, and I assume most of you are, hope you are. Most of us have no idea how filthy this world's got out there. I'm talking wicked. We just got back from youth camp. We run buses at our church. We took a bunch of teenagers to camp. We had around 200 kids at camp week before last. We had, Lord in mercy, and my wife sitting right there, she can tell you, we had some of the teenage girls spend a couple of days at our house. You wouldn't believe the stories. Two teenage girls said, "We have to carry our daddy in and help him walk. He's so drunk he can't even walk." Another girl said, "Please don't take me home." Brittany, how old is she? 14, 15? She told her, she said, "Please don't take me home." She said, "I don't want to go home." She said, "All I'm going to do is get cussed out by my drunk daddy." One girl come in my office, sat down. She's about 14. She said, "Danny," she said, "my uncle lives with us." She said that him and my daddy gets drunk every night. She said, "Him and daddy gets drunk. Mom works third shift." She said, "I'm in my room. My daddy passed out drunk. My uncle comes in my room." She said, "He's strong." She said, "He's mean to me." She said, "I'm scared of him." One girl said, "I tried to scoot the dresser in front of the door to keep him out." One in four, people. One in four. One in four. One in four. Now, you don't think some of us church people maybe ought to? I don't know you people. I don't know but about two people in here by name, or three. But you look like most church people, and I bet you we'd be embarrassed if we totaled up the collective time all of us have spent in prayer in the last week. I doubt if it'd be 2 hours unless the preacher's been on his face praying for this meeting. And the old folks used to go in the smokehouse or up the woods and stay all day till God heard them. What's happened to us? Preacher come to a house one time, knocked on the door, and a little kid come and he said, "Can I talk to you, Mama?" He said, "No, Mama prays from 10 to 11. Mama prays from 10 to 11. Where's them mamas gone anymore? What they say now? Yeah, Mama's watching Jerry Springer? Yeah, that's right. And that's why there ain't no power at the house of God anymore." I heard, Brother Wayne, that this little girl, cops stopped one night. Somebody reported as a child, about 5 years old, sitting on the side of the interstate and had her hands through it on a chain link fence, just holding on for dear life. Almost froze to death. And the cops pulled up and picked her up. Big old, her cheeks was chapped. Big old, her face was wet where she cried all night. And she said, "I don't think mommy's coming. I don't think my mommy's coming." They said, "Honey, where is your mommy?" She said, "Mommy put me out here last night and she left with that man." And she said, "I don't think mommy's coming." I want you to hear something tonight. The man, our sound man here tonight, I'm going to let you hear an actual 911 call. This was put in a few years ago in which a little child, a little boy about 5, 6, 7 years old, called 911. His daddy come in drunk, took a gun, killed grandma, killed his mom, and turned the gun on himself. The little kid escaped, and there's blood all over the place. And this happens every day right here in this nation. And you're going to hear an experienced, seasoned 911 operator without words. And all she can say is, "God." Listen, people. Something's going to have to turn us back to God.
Yes,
you got it ready, brother? I want him to play that. Turn it up real loud. I want you to listen to her as she says, "God." This is real.
Well, can I help you?
"My dad, he got a gun and killed mommy and nanny."
"He killed your mom and dad? He killed your mom and your grandma?"
"Yeah, and daddy was over there, and then he got the gun and then killed himself."
Where is he now? I want you to stay on the phone with me, okay?
Okay.
I know, honey. I'm sending the policeman and the fireman to help you, okay?
What's going to happen to us?
I don't know, baby. Just stay on the phone with me, okay?
Okay.
I don't want you to touch the gun, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're being a big boy. You're helping me good, okay?
I'm brave. I know
you're brave. I know, honey.
Because this is what happened. Daddy got so mad when they came. He was just coming. And then he got the gun and shot Nani and Mommy. And then Mommy, she was trying to get away. But there was blood on the floor, and now there's blood on the wall.
Okay, just stay on the phone, okay?
Yeah, okay, I'll just stay away from Mommy, Nani, and Daddy.
God. You hear a little boy said, "What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us?" People, there's thousands of kids out there tonight saying, "What's going to happen to me?" They come and arrested my daddy. My mama's in the crack house somewhere. Mama's out here on crystal meth. She's on pills. What's going to happen to them little kids? What's going to happen to them? I tell you, people, if the church is the answer. Us right in here. If we're not willing to call on the Lord and we're not saying, "Dear God, would you help us? God, please, would you help us?" They ain't no hope for this generation. There's a woman. I got on an airplane coming from across the ocean, England, to America, holding a little newborn baby. Sat down on an airplane. About a 9-hour flight, the stewardess noticed that something wasn't right. The baby didn't move. It didn't cry. She didn't change its diaper. She didn't feed it. The whole trip just sat there. So obviously they knew something wasn't right. And they had her stopped at the gate. He said, "Something's wrong with that kid back there." And you done guessed it. The baby is dead. And she sat there and held that dead baby in her arms all that way, acting like everything was all right. And they took it downtown to the hospital and do an autopsy. And they laid that little baby down, found that they'd been split, cut from its neck all the way down its belly, and sewed up with stitches. And they cut them stitches loose, and all its insides was completely all took out, and it's stuffed full of drugs. That's how she's smuggling drugs into this country. That's your rap friends.
Yeah.
That's your friends. That's your rock and roll buddies.
That's right.
That's what kind of people them are.
That's right.
That's what they do. You like that? I'm going to tell you something, people. We better call on God.
Amen.
Somebody needs to put in a 911 call while there's still time. I'm all for fun and games. I love cutting up, laughing, sport. I mean, I love to enjoy life. But they, we better get serious. It's things slipping out from under us really, really quick. Really quick. Who would have believed? Who would have believed that we're seeing what we're seeing now?